In the four stumbling blocks to truth, as written in the 13th century by Roger Bacon. First of these stumbling blocks to truth is the influence of fragile or unworthy authority. Somebody says something, look back at their record, get something else about them than the mere statement from them before you'll take it, before you'll believe it. Two, second of the stumbling blocks to truth, custom. Saying something because everybody's saying it. Saying something because you're told to say it. Saying something because the gang you're traveling with says it. Doing something because everybody's doing it. Fear of being a lone seeker by yourself. At various points in Remembrance Rock, I dealt with the theme of human loneliness. How, if you know how to use it, there are values to loneliness. There are times for the modern American youth to be saying, with reference to all of these new accessories of culture, the radio, the movies, television, there are the times to say, if you know your own mind and heart, and if you know how to use your own loneliness, there are times to say, the hell with them all. There were great lives lived, and there were some of the finest of human souls before these modern devices came. Their main aim being entertainment, their main aim being to waste your time. You have to wait for something priceless, and when it comes along, you can't do as you can with a book. You can't turn the pages back. You can't take it down from the shelf any time you need it. Be suspicious of these modern devices with relation to your personality. I know fellas that have heard 200 or 300 Jack Benny shows and they still go on listening. Just a habit, just a dirty, cheap habit. Gotta have that dope on Sunday night, gotta have that dope. I got used to it. Ed Murrow on the radio, yes. University of Chicago round table, yes. WILL, I spent many, many hours with it at my Lake Michigan home. I could get it there, one of the things I missed down in North Carolina. I wish WILL was from coast to coast, if it was a network. Of course, I know it would bother some people to listen for a whole hour, like I did one time, to Mr. Metcalf, the entomologist authority here, on the chinchworm. He made the chinchworm fascinating. He put in 5 or 10 minutes on the love life of the chinchworm. I don't know, but what I'd rather be a chinchworm than Joe McCarty. No, but I'm referring to these programs and shows that just are adapted to the lowest common denominator. And always preceding and always closing their services. And punctuating across the middle, and oftener than that, punctuating it with the commercial. Buy this, buy that, buy these, those, them. You can't live without this. Things, things, you ain't got enough things in your life, and these. These things we're telling you about, you gotta have them, you gotta have them. Custom. Listening to what millions are listening to. 3/3 of these stumbling blocks to truth. The imperfection of undisciplined senses which accept uncorroborated data as valid. Yeah, there are people who don't have as good of as good an eyesight as they think they have. Eyesight, yes. But an eyesight that doesn't have the gift of seeing. Part of the purpose of an education is all your teachers are trying to do something about your eyes and your ears. And what they register to, and what your minds might do with those registrations. I remember when I had a desk in a newspaper office right next to that of a music critic. And I used to find myself looking at his ears. Those very peculiar appendages fastened to his skull. I used to think of what a responsibility lay on those ears. I used to wonder what 1,000 concerts had done to those ears. Whether the thousands of crescendos that they had heard, and the thousands of diminishing diminuendos that they had heard, whether the wear and tear of that had done anything to the ears. And I asked him one time whether every night he prayed to God that those two organs of hearing fastened one each at the side of the head, that they'd be as good tomorrow as today. And the last of all of these is perhaps the simplest of all of them, of the stumbling blocks to truth. Concealment of ignorance by ostentation of seeming wisdom. I remember one time meeting Kenneth Parker, the maker of the 51 pen. And he had happened to be in the office of Time magazine in New York. And he sees a fellow in one of the corridors walking back and forth. One of the sub-editors or writers walking back and forth, wailing. I don't know. God help me, I don't know. You see, on Time magazine, you gotta know. The oldest and the best philosophers that we have said, I don't know, more often than they said, I'll tell you, like that clerk in The big new hotel in Cleveland, Ohio, where some convention of American learned societies was meeting. Some internationally known scientist comes to the desk and says to the clerk, do you have an Encyclopedia Britannica? Very dapper, clerk. No, we don't have the Britannica, but what is it you'd like to know? Perhaps I could offer, first of all, a song that originated among the boys under Leon Henderson, who was the first head of the Office of Price Administration. The OPA as distinguished from the WPA. Champaign County Hemp. These boys thought that the OPA needed a song, and so they made a song, a little song. They had a prophecy at the end of it, and time has proven their prophecy correct. We'll save a barrel of none. We'll lick the crisis. Inflation's on the run. Boom, ta-ra, ta-ra-ra. Ye housewives, don't you sigh. Or we'll roll back the prices in a pig's left eye. And over in Britain, when that social scientist Beveridge, having nothing to do with beer, when he gave to the United Kingdom his elaborate and intricate project for providing security for every man, woman, and child in the United Kingdom, from the cradle to the grave, and as some said, from womb to tomb. There was in the House of Commons a wit and a writer of light verse, A.P. Herbert. And he did the best that he could with these two verses set to an old Irish tune. It be wonderful after the war. There won't be no rich and there won't be no poor. We'll all get a pension about 24. And we won't have to work if we find it a bore. Oh, won't it be wonderful after the war? There won't be no sick and there won't be no sore. The beer will be quicker and better and more. And there's only one avenue I'd like to explore. Oh, why didn't we have this old war before? And perhaps I could give here tonight an old Illinois pioneer song. Out of the 1830s, probably known to Lincoln about the time that he moved from New Salem over to Springfield.